Yeah, what's up? This is Fries with Jake, and you have entered the most entertaining, boombastic podcast you have ever heard in your fucking life. And if you don't know me, you will. And the people that do know me know that I am a fucking ridiculous guy, and I have a lot of shit on my mind all the time to talk about, so listen up. Let's go, bitches. Yo, what's going on? It's Fries with Jake. I have a super special guest tonight. Fucking exclusive.
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 Guest today. Mr. Tom Bear is here today.
Mr. Tom Bear.
Tom Bear is here. Of course. Oh, my God. So, basically, for anybody that doesn't know, me and Tom have a super duper long history from like when I was like 15. And we've done a lot of shit together, been through a lot of shit throughout the years.
It's been tumultuous.
It's been, yeah, I mean, there's it's been some great fucking times. But first of all, you know, tell the listeners, I mean, you know, what's going on? All
right, so I felt like the first thing that we should talk about basically is like how we like found out about one another.
I was thinking about this earlier, and I was thinking on the drive home, and I was like, how did we exactly meet? Because from what I remember is you just found out that I skated and then was like, oh, you skate? All right. You want to, like, skate sometime?
For all those listening, though, we're not talking about skating. We're talking about
very first time?
Inline skating. We're talking about inline skating, not skating.
Inline skating. Yes. Inline aggressive skating.
Aggressively
inline skating. Aggressively inline. Oh, my God. Yeah. So we could talk about that because, honestly, dude, I seriously, like, forget because it's you know, it was when we were, like, at least, what, 16? 17?
Well, that was when I started hanging with Corolla, and Corolla was a senior, and I think I was either, I guess, yeah, I guess it had to be freshman year or sophomore year or something around that, because I think I knew Karen before you. I'm not sure exactly.
I think so. And did Karen and Nowak know each other before Karen knew you? Weren't they friends?
Yeah, Karen and Nowak were tight. Yeah,
okay.
And when I met Karen, I met Nowak. Like, he was kind of like a package deal.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
But as far as you, I remember, like, now, if anybody knows Jake or whatever, it's like, you know, he's into the newest thing. You know what I mean? He's got the cool thing going on, you know? So we heard through the grapevine, I always skated, and I always made ramps in my house and stuff. And we used to skate with Mikey Edwards and Ryan Massey at my house and build a whole bunch of ramps and stuff. But I heard through the grapevine there was this kid and a grade younger than me that had like a couple grind boxes in his, you know, in his driveway.
I didn't know that. Do you know who told you that?
Either Ryan, maybe somebody was walking by your house and saw him. I don't know because I didn't know Corolla at the time. I think I met Corolla through you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so yeah, it was just like, oh, this kid's got some ramps over his house. Let's stop by there one day after school or something.
Yeah.
And so we stopped by. I remember you had the Whopper.
The Whopper, yeah. Me and my dad fucking built that ramp, dude, with 87 legs on the bottom.
Too many legs. It was like the fucking millipede skate ramp.
It's fucking
like, if you lifted this thing up, it had all these legs underneath.
It was like half, what was it, 6 inches high?
Like, isn't carpentry in your family? Like, shouldn't you know what's going on here?
I mean, that, you know what, though? That was a stable motherfucker.
It was stable. I remember, stable. I remember the first couple times of hanging out, or we went over there, and you had two ramps to go up to it, and I had came up with the idea to put it on its side as like a wall ride, remember? And we put two 2x4s behind it and propped it up.
Yes,
and I was jumping off of the ramp and onto that and doing wall rides and
so
off there.
So fucking long ago, but yeah, dude, I do remember that.
And around that time, I was skating in front of Mikey Edwards' house, and I had a whole shitload of ramps that we were just skating in the street, just pulling everything out in the street and skating on it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to bring a couple things over. And you're like, all right.
Yeah.
I brought a rail over, and I brought this ramp over, and then I started bringing more stuff over, and then we built a fucking skate park in your fucking driveway.
Yeah, that was fucking crazy. Now, also for those of you that decide to listen, you know, when I was a kid, honestly, with the whole, like, being into the newest fucking thing, I don't know how I got into aggressive skating. Actually, I do, now that I think about it. It was Drew. Drew went to church with me. Drew was in aggressive skating. And then I met Anthony, who I still know to this day.
Yeah.
You know, and then they were skating, and then you decided to come over. And it was just one of those things where we just started. And I remember the first time it was a piece of fucking PVC pipe that was about 2 inches off the ground, scared to death. Just like anything else that I usually do, I'm scared to death to do. And I fucking remember doing it for the first time, and then he was, I think he taught me a soul grind, and I did that, you know, and it was just, it just kind of formulated into where everybody was fucking hanging out at my house. Like, it just kind of turned into one of those fucking things. I don't know if it was necessary just because it was the newest thing, but yes, I will admit, back in the day, as a high school person, I didn't do the new thing just to do the new thing.
He totally did the new thing to do the new thing.
No, I didn't. I did the new thing to kind of just be friends with everybody. I just wanted to be friends with everybody. Now, it was, and I said this in an earlier podcast, it wasn't until about 11th grade where I just said, I'm throwing on a fucking JNCO jacket and I'm fucking wearing this Echo bag and I don't give a fuck. I'm fine with everything. But it took until then. Like, it was if you look back at it now, it was pretty ridiculous. I had fucking, like, goggles. I had... But at the same time, like, I just didn't understand how if I wore something, and I know what you're going to say as far as, because I was always looking for everybody else's acceptance. However, if I wasn't looking for everybody's acceptance, it wouldn't change the fact that I might have looked absolutely fucking ridiculous. But I liked it at the time, and I couldn't understand how everybody was just like, what the fuck are you wearing? What are you fucking doing? And instead of just being like, all right, look, dude, I'm not into it, but, like, you know, that's cool if you want to do you.
Well, you know, I don't... You know. And not necessarily... I mean, you know, you look. You had the coolest, newest thing all the time. And that was just the way you were. There was a fact that... There was a reason why people picked you to do in the talent show as the pretty five for a white guy kid.
Oh, okay? I know.
And it was like, hey, yeah. Hey, do that brand new thing. Mm-hmm. Right? That was Jake Burton doing the brand new thing. Well, so at the time, the brand new thing was Rollerblade. You know?
Yeah.
And that's all right. And yeah. That's cool. That's fine. I had been skating a couple years prior to that, obviously, before it was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. But you know what? We stuck with it for a long time.
Very long time.
And, you know, it's just like anything. If it comes to, like, four-wheeling, aggressive skating, being in a band, whatever the fuck it was.
Backyard wrestling.
Backyard.
Hooking up Honda Civics.
Yep.
Hooking
hey, listen.
Up Dodge Daytonas.
Listen, you know, cutting the exhaust pipe fucking hole out with a fucking steak knife.
Driving.
With Nowak.
Yeah, driving Corvettes and breaking them.
Yeah, you know, in the shop forever, you know. But listen,
bringing your Corvette to Pep Boys and saying,
I don't remember that. No, I don't fucking remember that.
No,
I didn't bring the Corvette to Pep Boys.
You brought the Corvette to Pep Boys. Like,
how do you know that? Why? Because Phil worked there. He told you.
Dude,
I don't remember
I heard
that
the story.
At all.
I think you told me it, and it was like, yo, can you guys fix this? I don't know what's wrong with it or something. I had like transmission problems, and it was like
oh,
the
was
guy
terrible.
At Pep Boys.
It was
the
terrible.
Guy at Pep Boys is going to fix your Corvette transmission. Yeah. Oh my god!
You know, it was a fucking terrible thing. But yes, I have done a lot of shit. However, umpteen years later, we're fucking both older. We're both doing our thing now. Things are going pretty good for both of us, but. That's how we fucking met, and then the skating thing, dude, I admired you because I don't know what it was instilled in you from a kid or whatever of just saying, I mean, I think you might have had the fuck it mentality that you, Dave, Dexy, you know, like everybody had it, but I don't know if it was the way I raised or just because my whole life I've been scared of everything my whole entire fucking life that I didn't have the fuck it mentality until I probably started riding four-wheelers. You guys just didn't give a fuck, man. I mean, there would be like a fucking triple kinker, fucking straight down a fucking thing, like, I don't give a fuck. And then, like, even on the Pasavas video, it was like, no, you hear fucking Corolla, our friend Corolla, he ain't gonna fucking do it. And he's like, pray to the Habitida or whatever. And you just,
no,
you
it was
just
basically
did
like,
it. You didn't care. Yeah. You had no fucking, like, you didn't care if you got hurt. And I was scared of everything. And I never got hurt. But you guys fucking just jumped on there and did what you did, and I was like, man, dude, I wish I could be like that, but I'm not.
It was a big step to jump onto a handrail for the first time, and you know, and that's a big deal, you know. And I had been like, you know, been doing it for a bit, and it was like a couple other people started getting into it, and it was like, yo, Jake, like, fucking, we're not leaving this rail until you do it, you know. Like,
and that was the first time, honestly, that I, you know, it's a different kind of thing because that was the first time that I've really been like fucking tested. And I think back then he wanted me really to do the rail like so much. I don't know if it was to just be accepted in the Pasavas crew as a guy who could do fucking handrails, or instead of just being like, fuck it, he doesn't do fucking handrails because he's fucking scared. Or I think a part of it had to do was like you were trying to fucking push me. you know, to be uncomfortable.
I said this.
To get to that point of doing it, because you know that if I did it, you'd be like, see, it wasn't even that fucking bad anyway.
All right, so I thought about this a long time ago. I came to the conclusion that basically Jake is everybody's little brother. Jake's everybody's little brother. I don't know why.
I don't want to, but I didn't want to be that guy.
I know, but you were. Like, every pack of people has, like, this certain amount of pecking order involved, you know? There's a few alpha dogs, there's a few beta dogs, you know? And there's some in-betweeners, you know? And, like, everybody is, like, always jiving for that spot or just is. And you've always been the funny guy that was fun to be around, but you were everybody's little brother. And I don't know, I kind of took you under my wing a little bit. And I was an asshole for it sometimes, where I was trying to get you to do things that you didn't want to do or you were afraid of, and I was making fun of you or something to try to get you to do something. But I always felt like sorry for you in a way, because I felt like with my original group of friends when I was growing up, everybody, there was no real pecking order, but everybody was kind of just like an asshole to, if there was a new friend around, the friend that you were best friends with would be an asshole to you because he wants to be cool with the new friend. So you were used to being ripped on and picked on a lot, especially me being a fatter kid at the time. Like when I was younger, I was fatter and I was a little overweight and like I was shy, you know, and I got picked on. And so like I kind of felt like, after the years of, like, you know, losing that weight and getting more confidence in myself and becoming who I am at that time, I was seeing you in myself, you know? And so, like, now I didn't know that at the time, or I didn't articulate it like that at the time, but that's who you were to me, I guess, you know? And it was just like, come on, Jake, like, you can do this, you know? Or stop being fucking lazy.
Stop being a fucking pussy.
Don't be a pussy, you know?
Yeah, and it was like, but it was really hard, dude. You gotta understand, though, here's the thing. And I thought about this, too. Fucking you growing up with all your friends and being the asshole and just fucking doing it. And you were pretty much the best of it at everything you did with a lot of shit. I grew up a lot different than you. Hands down. Like, I definitely did. You know, if you, I'm not talking about, like, the last 15 years. I'm talking about from when I was born to probably about 22. Dude, you know, and I've said this in other podcasts, I didn't do shit. I fucking went to church. I was the fucking virgin. I was the fucking non-smoking weed, cigarettes, having sex dude. And I got a lot of fucking slack for that. Now, I probably shouldn't have, but you gotta understand who I was hanging out with, where it was just like that. Like, and I said this in another podcast earlier. I haven't released it yet, but it was like, I said this to Mitch the other day. I'm like, you had a bunch of motherfuckers in like 10th grade that were like, you're such a fucking pussy, you didn't have fucking sex. I'm like, now that I think about it, and I'm like, you didn't have fucking sex either. You were just talking shit. Like, there's no way. Like, you guys were like fucking slanging bitches and fucking bitches and all this shit, like, back in the day. I'm like, come on, man. Like, you're really giving me shit for being a Christian? Like, is that really what's going on right now?
It's not that big of a deal here.
And then you think about it later and you're like,
because I'm a Christian. Are you making fun of me because I'm a Christian?
Yeah.
I'm a Christian boy and I like to, like, wait for sex till marriage. And
hey, that's me. That's who I was. Yo, I'm not going to lie. That's who I was.
You can't say that to a group of dudes and not get, like, ribbed on a little bit. You know?
I know, dude. I hear you.
Especially where we come from in the socio-economic fucking world that we lived in at the time. You know, this is, like, middle class to lower middle class and stuff like that. You know, you're with some harder dudes in a way, you know?
Not crazy hard,
but, you know, you're going to come out of here and be like, hey, guys, I believe in Jesus, okay? And Jesus told me to wait to jerk off. And I'm not going to jerk off or even have sex with another woman until... Yo, I remember, Jake had a fucking... A dry fuck, like, phase. Where it was just like, listen, okay?
Don't mention names, but yeah.
I don't even know who. I don't remember these girls. I don't remember what girl let you rub your penis on them through the pants.
It was like the same thing, because everything had to be under like a trial experiment. Like when I smoked weed for the first time and I told him, I think, just blow it in my face.
Yeah.
It was like, I want to have sex really fucking bad. But we just got done church.
Yo, I heard...
It was,
I
like,
heard,
on Sundays after
when
church.
When I fucking heard this, he told me this straight-faced, like, yeah, so, you know, what the hell did you even call it? Just, like, dry humping, right? Like, it was dry sex.
Yeah, dry sex.
Dry sex. Jesus likes dry sex, okay? Jesus likes the friction that dry sex has. I prefer a dungaree material, like pre-wash soaked, not the hard denim, but like a softer kind of denim, stone wash. That is the kind of friction that I need for my pecker when I'm rubbing on my yeah. also Christian girlfriend,
right.
who's basically down with dry sex. Yo, it was fucking hilarious, man.
Hey, yeah. And the point is that, you know, it's funny to laugh at now, but it did fucking happen. I was that fucking guy, dude. You know, I never wanted to be that guy. I just wanted to be fucking friends with everybody.
I just think,
but
like...
But here's the thing. Where it got crazy. Yeah, you guys fucking busted my stones. And it really fucking got to me because I was an emotional fucking kid. And... But at the same time, it was like... fuck, I forgot what I was going to say. At the same time, it just kind of got into that realm where it was just like... What the fuck, man? Like, it got into the realm where... You know, you had said some shit because you were like, Jake, I'm going to be honest with you, dude. I don't like you. I just get on your ramps.
No, I did not
you
say it like that.
You were like, I'm not really your friend. I was like, no. Are we friends? No. Are we friends? And you were like, dude, I'm not really your friend. I just skate on your ramps.
No. You referred to me as your friend. You were just like, yeah, you know, I mean, we're friends and all. And I was like,
You regretted it right after you said that? Who the fuck says that?
It was like, well, I wouldn't say that we're friends. I mean...
I wouldn't say that we're friends.
We skate together. I come over to your house and, you know, I built these ramps. You know,
well, so what the fuck? We're skating. We're literally skating every fucking day. I didn't say this the first time meeting Tom. This was like after like months of building ramps and skating together, yeah. meeting people.
This was months after skating with you. I basically built like a skate park in your driveway. I had a 16 foot wide quarter pipe in the backyard. I had a spine ramp. I had ramps.
It was awesome.
All this stuff.
Yeah, it was cool.
And he's like, you're my friend? And I was like, we just skate together. I think we should see other people.
Yeah. I wish that back in the day that I feel like how I am now, you know, that I could have just been like, yeah, we just skate together. It is what it is. Like, we build some ramps, we fucking hang out, whatever. But back then, I wasn't like that.
I don't even know why I said that, okay? I guess it's just like, I guess you caught me off guard with it or whatever. But I just felt like the only time we did hang out was when we skated. You know, and that's really what I guess I meant, but I probably was meaning it in a mean way because I was mean, you know, like, I don't know, like kids were mean. I was mean. Also I was, I don't know. I always bounce back and forth between being your ally and your enemy. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's basically like, well, I grew up always wanting to tell people, hey man, you got a booger on your fucking nose, you know, take that. You got some shit on your face, man. Yeah. Wipe that off, you know? And that was basically what I would say to people as I was developing my own personality. And so, like, when you're hanging out with... It's like basically Jake has a half a hoagie hanging in his on his the side of his face everywhere he goes. And you just got to constantly be like, yo, Jake, you got a little bit of lettuce and tomato on the side of your face.
Yeah,
like, that's just the way Jake was, and that's the way I was. And so it was an oil and water situation. But, dude, he was a funny motherfucker. We made all these skate videos, and you were always doing the funniest shit. I mean... you know, I was doing funny shit too. You know, I was a pretty funny guy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you were.
but you were a funny dude, and we all loved being around
you. It's cool to hear that now and get some kind of clarification, because I honestly thought that I was just the fucking dude that everybody made fun of, and they just skated on my shit and didn't give a fuck if they even liked me or not, if we were friends or whatever, and they just kind of like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it was. And through that, I'm going to be like, I'm not going to get, we may do a part two to get a little bit more deeper into the subject.
We got
to
get deep.
Because I'm not ready to get deep just right now. I'm just kind of having a good time with a guy that I haven't seen in a while time. But Tom is just, you know, he's just who he is. I hated this motherfucker for so fucking long because of the way that he made me feel growing up. But he's so fucking weird because he would be like, Tom is the type of guy that'll be like, yo, dude, like, you're a fat, grimace, hairy-looking motherfucker. However, I kind of like how your lawn is. Like, it's like you're like, you get mad at him, but then he says something nice to you, and you're just like, I don't know how to fucking feel, dude. I don't know how to feel. I hate him, I love him, I don't fucking know, man. Like, I have no clue.
You like to be, what's the word? You definitely like, to be, man, I don't know what the hell the word is. Anyway, I'll move on from that. But
that's fine.
The Yeah, I don't know, man. I think that, you know, I was growing up and kind of becoming who I was a bit. And also, you know, I don't know. I always had a thing where I had to make everybody laugh. And that was at all costs. I didn't give a fuck what I broke or what I fixed. In order to do that, I had to make people laugh, you know? And basically, you're like coming here and talking about dry humping girls, and I'm like, how the fuck am I not going to say something about that, you know? Like,
I know. Dude, maybe I felt comfortable with you at the time to fucking tell you that, dude. I don't know why I fucking said it, but like you, whatever.
No, dude, I don't even know if it was about comfort, because you would just tell people things that you weren't supposed to tell people.
I think,
you know?
I think that's kind of what I was, because I've always been like a straight up, truthful, honest fucking dude, and I say what I feel. Sometimes you don't need to do that.
No.
Like this podcast, like, there's some shit that I've said or whatever, but I'm like, yo, this is a podcast. I'm saying how I feel. I don't fucking care. I've gotten slack from Tom and from some other fucking people. But at the same time, it is what it is. You take it how you take it.
Yeah.
I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm not going to fucking sit here and be like, it's 6 o'clock. No, I'm going to say what I'm feeling. And that's just the whole point of this thing. Because I don't fucking care what it is. And, you know, even when I had Mitch on, this is a little bit of a spoiler, but the podcast will already be out by then.
It won't be a spoiler at all, Jake.
Yeah, I guess
hopefully
not.
Hopefully you won't spoil our thing on some other future podcast.
No. Yours will be released.
You
like,
are
in
spoiling
4 seconds.
Things in the future.
Yeah. Actually, it wouldn't be the future because it'll already be out.
You're messing with my space-time continuum right now. I have no idea.
It'll already
Morty!
Be out.
Morty!
I told...
Marty, we have to go back to 1985.
What was it? Fucking 1.21 gigawatts. Fucking Tom, back in the day, I was talking to our friend Noak the other day, and he's like, look, dude. He's like, oh man, you're gonna have Tom on. I'm like, dude, you know what? Fuck it, I have to do it. I mean, he's asked me to go on, and it's just something we're gonna fucking do and talk about or whatever. He's like, you remember fucking Tom back in the day? We go to get something to eat, the cheapest motherfucker around. He'd fucking be, we'd go out and get something to eat, and we'd have like money for food and whatever, and Tom would be like, yo, let me get like half cheeseburger right there.
No.
That's what he told me.
No. He's completely right. I just think it's funny that you guys were premeditating my appearance on this show.
Yeah, it's
like,
exactly.
Listen, let me give you some ammo.
Let me give you the 411.
No, I'm just gonna give you some ammo, all right? In case you get in trouble out there or whatever. You just start throwing out how he was a cheap motherfucker. Yo, I had no job. I was 16. I was 18 years old. I had no job, and we were skating every day. And we were eating at like Taco Bell and shit. I go to Taco Bell and I'm like, I got no money. I'm like, yo, listen, I will take 3 fire packets and put them in my mouth and gargle it for 1 minute if you buy me a soft shell taco.
Yeah, you were a crazy dude, man.
Right? And they were just like, okay. And I was like, and did it for a minute and it was like, all right, now you gotta hold it in your mouth.
Wasn't there a milkshake back in the day that was just like lettuce and fucking push it in and you're like, I'll drink this.
No, that was Little Dave.
Oh, that was Little Dave?
Little Dave had like $5 or made like $10, $5 or whatever for, and that was a salad, right? It was like a mixed salad or something with ice cream cone dipped on top, vanilla ice cream cone, and then Thousand Island dressing on top of everything.
Right.
And like you had to like eat it with, I guess you had to eat it with no hands or something. He basically just goes down on it like that. And it was like, yo, he takes a bite and he's just like, and grabs his fucking money. Man.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fucking crazy. But anyway, so, you know, that's kind of how we met or whatever. And then skating happened. And then I sat next to this kid, Corolla. And I'm pretty sure that fucking Corolla didn't even fucking like me. But I sat near him anyway because I'm like, all right, this kid looks cool, whatever. And then there was this kid, Dan. All right, we're not going to say his last name. But, you know, there was this kid, Dan. And then we saw a fucking yearbook picture. I don't remember what year it was or whatever, but it said, here's fucking Dan, what's his fucking face doing? That's all the various skate parks. And then next thing you know, we were just like, that's going to be the fucking...
No. All right, so...
Am I sort of right?
No, well, you're sort of right. You're sort of right. No, it was like, there's this kid, Dan, and he kind of skated, and like, we had already been kind of like a little skate crew at the time, and this dude like maybe like skated a little bit or something, but he had this picture of him doing like a soul grind at Washington Lake Park in the yearbook, and this was he was a senior, and I was probably a junior or a sophomore, and it was just so funny to see this kid in the yearbook. Like, it was like, here's Dan Palladino, He spends most of his time doing Fat Souls at various skate parks.
So definitely not going to say his last
name. Like PH Fat, right? Well, I don't, Dan Palladino, if you're out there somewhere, I thank you.
If you listen to this podcast, then you know what? Maybe you deserve the fucking
I appreciate you. So one day we're hanging out and we're bored and we were writing with markers. We were writing like skate logos all over the ramps.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wrote on this and I wrote on the thing because it was always an inside joke like, yo, Fat Souls at various skate parks. Yeah. I'm whipping out Fat Souls. At various pH fat, right?
pH fat.
pH fat.
Yeah.
And
is that funny?
Peter Griffin. Peter Griffin busting out Fat Souls at various skate parks.
Now all I'm picturing is Peter Griffin on fucking skates.
Hey, watch this. Watch this. I can bust out a skate trick. Anyway, yeah, so I can bust out one of those Fat Souls there for you, Dave Jakey boy. And so I wrote it on the ramp, and we were laughing at it, and I just took each letter. PSAVS, Fat Souls at various skate parks. And that was our name. And that's a horrible name for fucking anything.
Yeah.
Passavis? What's a Passavis?
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, that's what the origin of Passavis is. But whatever, fuck all this. Let's move on. We basically, yo, I always play guitar. All right.
Yeah,
I messed around. I got
a
fucking bass. And off of Mark Munyon, I got a bass. I go over to his house one day. I'm like, yo, I never played a bass before. I got a bass. I know that Jake has always had a drum set in his basement. He's one of those rich kids with those drum sets.
First of all, I was never fucking
totally
rich.
A rich kid with a drum. Yo,
drum set was like $300.
Everybody out there knows that if there was a kid in the fucking that had a full blown drum set at the age of like 15,
my cousin
16,
sold it to my parents for like practically nothing.
Yo, I'm they better,
and then gave it to me for like Christmas or
they
something.
They better have paid for that drum set in sexual favors.
I don't remember what the first drum set was.
I don't know either.
It
but
wasn't
he
a
had
sexual
an,
favors.
He was one of those. He was.
Did he really just go there with the sexual favors? It
the
takes
sexual
like,
favors.
There
no.
was no sexual favors there, going there, on.
I didn't say anything about sexual favors, but I'm just saying you had a drum set, and I was like, "This."
Regardless of
set.
What happened, I had a fucking drum set.
He
I don't know how
a,
I got
a,
it. It just
was
happened.
Richie Rich motherfucker.
Shut the fuck up! I was
a
not
solid
rich.
Gold. It was a
not
solid
rich.
Solid gold
rich.
Drum set. Solid gold. 14 karat.
Dip. There was diamond
Dip.
Plated fucking snare drum all
ridiculous.
The way to fucking around.
Oh my god! It was like bling bling.
It wasn't even that good of a drum set.
No, I know it wasn't.
But whatever. It was. I decided that I wanted to play drums. My fucking dad played guitar. You know, family's full of musicians or whatever. I was too impatient, just like I am now, to fucking learn the fucking guitar. But I fucking love guitar, and I was like, I just want to bang on shit. So anyway, go ahead. I'm listening. All
right. So I'm gonna reach over. Right. No, you... this won't reach.
No, just take it off for a second.
I'll just. I'll
yeah.
Take it off.
Yeah. So Tom's gonna go get a another goose as we're talking about drums. So basically, real quick, what's that?
One other beer.
Yeah. You can grab me a Devil's Reach, please. The can in there, the orange can. Orange cans, please. So, basically, we're going to get back into what Tom was saying 2 seconds ago, but my cousin came over, he had a fucking drum set, and he basically taught me one beat, and then that was it. I popped in Nirvana in Utero, and I started, what are you looking for? Over here, dude.
My fucking mic.
Right here, yeah. Put it right there. So I learned one beat, Nirvana in Utero, whatever. That's how I learned how to play drums. But go back to Tom, what you were saying.
Anyway,
because he's more important anyway.
I was like, I knew, like, we've been skating with Jake forever. And at this point, like, I think skating had dwindled down. He was into car clubs now and was hooking up various cars.
Yeah.
And going out to car shows and winning trophies.
I didn't win any trophies.
He didn't
want to
skate anymore. But anyway, I knew that Jake and Phil... Phil played guitar and Jake played drums, and every once in a while they would get together and jam. And I was like, yo, mm-hmm. Mark, Mark bought the bass for $35 the day before. I went over and I'm playing this bass. I'm like, yo, I've never played a bass before. And I played everything I could possibly do on it because I've always just dabbled around with guitar and never got into it. And I was like, Mark, I'll buy this bass off you for the same exact money that you've just paid for it. And he was
right.
Like, yo, you're going to do things more than I'm going to do with it. And I fucking did it. And then that's when we started jamming.
If
now,
you don't know
Phil
anything
about
in... bass, how did you fucking start just fucking playing? I mean, I know you dabbled, but
I
like...
dabbled with guitar.
Okay.
So it was like, I didn't know much chords or anything. I knew like a power chord maybe at that point, but I didn't mm-hmm. know anything. And so I always just messed around with single string little things on guitar, but I never did anything with it.
Right.
And then so like, you know... I'm like, yo, I will get this bass. I will go over and I will jam with fucking Phil and Jake, and mm-hmm. we'll like make songs. And then all of a sudden, bam, we got a band. So we go from, so now Jake and I relationship has galvanized at this point. We love and we hate each other at the same time.
At the same fucking time.
And,
yes.
And then we've moved on now from skating into the band. And yes. Now we're in a band together.
And now we're in a fucking band. I think this band, from what I can remember, lasted what, 6 years?
Yeah, I don't know how many years, yeah.
Bobby off and on, right?
Yeah, it was, I don't know, we had too many off periods, but yeah, I mean, there was rise and falls. Like, it was definitely like, hey, we started playing in your shed because you were the rich kid with the drum set and
shut
the shed.
Shut the fuck up, I was not a rich fucking kid.
Anyway.
Any fucking thing that fucking Tom can say, he'll fucking say. Yeah, let me tell you right now, as soon as he walked in my fucking door today, he goes, you need to get this house power washed.
Yeah, you better power wash this house.
Of course, that's the first thing he said. Not like, hey, man, how you doing? What's going on? How's life? It's like, dude, you need to fix this porch. You need to power wash this house.
Yo, this shit's going to rot. I'm telling you, I owned a house for 10 years, and this shit's going to rot right now. You're down to primer, and the primer's chipping off. And you know why that is? You know why I told you that?
Because it happened to you.
No.
Why?
Because you're everybody's little brother.
You know what? For 2 seconds, we're going to fucking say, fucking little Dave. How is little Dave not everybody's little brother?
Yo,
I'm older than little Dave, a bigger kid, but I'm still everybody's little fucking brother.
What was little Dave? Little Dave was like 5 years younger.
I taught him how to do his first fucking grind.
Yeah, but little Dave was your uncle.
Yeah, even yeah. though he was 6 years younger than me at the fucking time.
Little Dave was definitely like, and be like, yo, tell Jake what's up, all right, little Dave?
Yo,
he was like 15 years old. Like,
I fucking hated that, man. But you know what? I guess I was. I didn't want to be that fucking guy, but off, whatever, with fuck with that. So go back to the band thing.
So bam, we're in a band. And it was like, we're messing around and shit. And I know it was winter at that point when we finally got into things. It was the end of summer when we started playing. And I'm like, yo, let's play something, you know? Like, let's play something original, you know? And then, like, Phil knew how to play guitar a bit better than I did. And I was just like, I don't know, man. Like, do. And Jake was pretty damn good at drums, you know? I have to say, for a self-taught dude, he was pretty good at that point, and he got better and better and better. And I feel like I helped him. I pushed him along.
Yeah, we started. He definitely did. It was just like anything else. He definitely fucking pushed me along, because when I first started playing, like, I guess, like, Tom is literally the only person. Well, not the only person. Like, a lot of people have said, like, oh, dude, you're pretty good. But Tom, when we were in the band, has told me numerous times, he would just be like, dude, you were creative. Like, you created certain things with the band. Even though, when I think back about it, it wasn't really that creative. But I still think, to the fact, dude, we had gnarly fucking sessions. I'm talking fucking in the barn, 100 fucking degrees. We would practice as fast as we could for, what, 6 hours?
Oh, man.
Dude, you remember that? How fucking crazy?
We played super fast.
Like, this one fucking hands up. Like, fucking nuts, dude. It was fucking crazy. And this was even being heavy, being skinnier, fucking whatever the fuck shit I was going through at the time. Like, we played so much, so fast, for so long, that when we finally played shows, it was good.
Yo, I want to take a second and pause for a second. I have an idea now. All right, one of the things, I've been listening to a lot of your podcasts, and one of the things I have to say is that you use fucking too much.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
All right, I know that you knew what I was going to say, but I am also guilty of this thing. So we will do this right now.
Okay.
When we say the word fucking, from now on, we will take a sip of beer.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, you will go into a rant or whatever and have many fucking sober. Like, yo, you owe me 4 sips on that motherfucker.
I'll fucking down this right now.
You don't need to down anything. No, you don't need to down anything. I don't mean to get you drunk.
And I just took a sip of beer because I said it. But yes, that is one thing that I do say a lot. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how. I don't know if it was construction.
No, it's just too simple. And it means nothing when you use it that often. And it's something that I've been working on in my stand-up.
Yeah.
Or when I'm trying to do like a rant or something like off the cuff, and you tend to go for the fucking. I'll take a sip right now.
Yeah. Well, I will say though, at the same time, dude, there's a lot of comedians that use that word.
No.
Perfectly
fine.
It can be used.
No, it can be used, but when it's every other word or whatever, it basically, it's just, you sound like a moron. Not you personally, but people in general sound like morons when they say fucking every other 10 seconds.
Actually, you helped me in that, because there was a song that I just did the other day. We'll go into that like at a later time. But there was a song I did the other day, and I was trying to talk to the producer, and I said, listen, I need another word to say here. And I was like, and then this is what I said to the producer, because I specifically thought of you, because you have told me this before. I was like, I need a word to go here. And I was like, should I just say, like, fucking, what, I was like, but I told the producer, I was like, I don't want to say fucking, because it's such a, it's such a easy word to use, it works, don't get me wrong, it definitely works and flows good, but, like, I don't want to say this because I want to say something else, and then there was a lot of stuff that I wrote that I was like, I don't want to use fucking all the time because it's so
Easy. I think Corolla said that, too. But anyway, all right, so from now on. But anyway, we'll go back to it.
And now it's going to be a challenge because now it's the Tom and Jake podcast.
Yeah, let's just see if you even like recognize it too. So anyway, we're in a band. We're doing our thing. Jake's drum set is falling apart. Like,
how long did it take to fall apart though? Let's get this out in the clear. How long did it take?
Like right away. We were in your basement trying to fix it, dude. We had a shoelace holding the snare on the bottom. Remember, we were fixing it with shoelaces. I was fixing it with shoelaces. That's the thing. Jake wasn't very mechanically inclined, so I was always fixing his drum set for him. We had shoelaces on there and like duct tape. And remember, you broke the snare head, I think, and we had to tape it back together.
Was chicken wire on there at some point? That might have been later on.
Something like that, yeah. So there was all kinds of problems with this thing. And it was just like, every time we played a song, Jake would re-break whatever the hell we just fixed. And so at that point, we were just like trying to come up with band names and stuff. And I'm like, yo, this shit is broken, but then you fixed it, but it's still broken. So why don't we name our band Broken Fix?
Right, yeah.
One word, Broken
Fix. And everybody loved it. Everybody loved it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, I was inspired by a band called, I think, Nothing Face, for whatever reason. I just liked the fact that it was like two words smashed in together into one, Broken Fix, Nothing Face. That was the original inspiration for that. But we wrote songs, and we played, and we got really good. But Jake wants to play shows, and I guess I was nervous to play shows at the time. I don't want to play shows, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just really wanted to write... I wrote most of the material, and basically I would write a song at the, in my house. I'd come to band practice with it. I would teach Phil what to do, you know, he would learn it, and then we would go over it.
He was
a
pretty fast learner, I will say that. Phil was very fast.
He was great. Me and him developed a good relationship with one another as far as like communicating musically, to the point where he basically was just like, the way he played was the way I played, you know, it was great. But then we would go over it with you, right? We'd be like, all right, Jake, what kind of beat you got to this, you know? And I remember it changing a lot because I would write it one way to like a metronome and then you would have something different.
You did it the smart way because I wasn't a metronome player until like later on in life. I just wanted to fucking beat on shit. Damn it. A sip of beer because I just said fucking.
I was like, why did he say
that? Ah, I just said it again. Damn it.
No tag backs. Anyway.
Okay. But yeah.
So, man, we did the band for many years.
Yeah, there was a lot of there was a lot of shit. I will say this. You and Phil had a really good relationship with a lot of stuff, but you fucked with me more than you fucked with Phil. And I don't know why, and this has gone on through, like, many years. I don't know if it was just because you knew, like, Phil don't play around. He just gets fucking pissed off. Or you thought, like, I'll just say it to Jake because Jake's a funny guy and he doesn't really care. I'm still trying to find the reasoning to this because I'll get into something in a couple seconds. But it was always like that. Like, you could fuck with me and then it was, like, fine. But you can't fuck with Phil. Phil will leave the band. He will walk out of the room.
Well, me and Phil had locked horns once or twice and stuff too. But I felt like
vaguely remember that.
You are funny because you don't realize it's like you're hanging out with a pack of horses and you are the mule.
Okay, great,
it's like
dude,
you're
thanks.
The donkey. You're the donkey or something. Yeah. And you're funny, man. Yeah. You're hilarious. We all love you. Okay. Yeah. But you're hanging out with a bunch of horses. You're like, how come you don't pick on these other donkeys here? And like, we're all horses, bro.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know.
But you always had that. Like... You always had that, though. And real quick, I'm going to say it's 2 seconds. This happened about maybe 3 years ago. Okay, listen. I grew up with a bunch of dudes at a skate park. In my driveway or whatever, we shared 2-liter bottles. We shared food. Some people would be like, oh, that's nasty. I can't believe you did that. We just didn't care. So I don't know if Phil wasn't that way, but like, We were riding one day, and we went to a bar, and I just ordered a cheesesteak, right? I was so hungry, I didn't eat. So this motherfucker, and I don't even care that I say it, because I'm going to take a sip of beer, he decides to come up and stick his whole finger in my food. Now, me, I don't care, dude.
Who's this,
whatever. Me? Yeah, you. You stuck. You stuck your whole finger in my thing, in my cheesesteak.
I thought you were talking about Phil did that.
No, no, you did that.
Yeah, yeah, I remember now.
And then I was just like, dude, I don't care. I'm still gonna eat it, and I don't give a shit. So then I went over a little bit later, and I stuck my finger in his food. But he's like, no, you got to get like all the meat there. You got to get all in the meat. And like, but I've had this conversation. It was like, I told Phil about this. He's like, oh, if you would have done that, I would have been so fucking pissed. I would have been so pissed. I probably would have fought. Like, he just got so mad. And he's still like that today. When it comes to food with that guy, like, I could go into a whole bread thing. But, like, we're at a wedding. And, like, there's bread here. There's bread in front of me. There's bread in front of Phil. And mind you, just around the corner, there's a whole thing of bread. So I don't see the bread in front of me or whatever. You know, we're drinking, we're, you know, messing around, whatever. So I see Phil's bread. So I take his bread. I'm like, motherfucker, did you just take my bread? I gotta take another shit. Like, did you just take my bread? I'm like, dude, you got another piece. Takes my bread. Starts eating my bread. Like, it's just bread. Like, what is the big deal? Like, if you would have taken my bread, I wouldn't care.
He said token.
If you would have taken my bread, I wouldn't have cared. So I guess Phil, with the whole thing with food, is like a major thing. Because like I said, he would have been so pissed if you would have stuck your finger in his fucking cheese thing.
Phil is a little more uptight than most. And that's the way Phil is and stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's just that, like, dude, the reaction that you get from you, all right, versus Phil is much funnier.
Yep. Is that why? Is that the
really
reason?
That,
that's
like,
what it is?
Like,
okay.
If you,
it just
like,
wasn't. Could you get a razz out of me?
No, like, it's not even a razz. It's just like whatever you're going to say is going to be hilarious. You're basically like this big foam bubble that every time I hit it, like a starburst pops out. You know?
A starburst.
Like a trained monkey. I'm like, boom, 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 boom,
yeah,
boom. And just like, you just had to poke you, man.
Nah,
but you poked
I
yourself.
Guess.
You know, we were all goofy motherfuckers, and we did funny things. Oh, I'll be drinking that.
You gotta drink another.
That was an earned one.
Yeah, and I'm paying attention here. But yeah, you know, we were all super close. Me, Tom, and Phil. I guess we all had our times where we locked horns together. But when we were playing, that basically built into the type of, you know, obviously I'm a little bit more like relaxed now on drums, but you know, in those times, we played so fast all the time. We started making songs, and then we met. I don't know how we met Shank, but he recorded all our stuff. And surprisingly, at the time, it always wound up being pretty good.
No, it was funny because you didn't know how to play to a metronome, and Shank basically. Well, that didn't. Shank didn't like that, and no one does. But so I had to basically play bass with you while you tried to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were trying to do it all in one take, if not two takes, maybe, or whatever, like a whole song.
Yeah, I was so
and we
pissed
played
out,
super fucking fast, like, no FX beats.
I didn't want to punch in. I was like, I gotta get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to get it right now in one take. I don't want to play a little bit and then punch in, and then I'm like, no. And then, like, there'd be so many times I'd be playing the drums, Tom would, you know, be playing with me or whatever. And be playing, like, because our songs were only, like, probably, like, 2.5 minutes long. Get right, like, if it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds, I would mess up at 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Like, I'd play the whole thing all over again.
Oh, my God. And
how many times did that happen?
And I had to play it with them over
yeah,
and over again.
Over
and
over.
I played
yeah,
bass,
right.
And I played bass with my fingers. Okay,
yeah,
I played hardcore punk.
Which was
punk,
really cool, really
hardcore
cool.
Hardcore punk
yeah.
with my fucking fingers. So I was just, like, wearing the shit out of my fingers. I had calluses and everything like that, like. And but it was funny because we were doing it so much, it became such a mechanical thing, like second nature, that we got faster and faster and faster and faster and faster with it. That, like, okay, cool, we're great. Now we're ready to record Phil. And Phil would come in and try to play guitar and be like, yo, this is, like, ridiculously fast. What the hell did you guys do?
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
he couldn't keep up. He was like,
yeah.
I can't do it. You guys are assholes. Yo, I remember Phil being so pissed at us because he had to, like...
He would be... He kind of gets aggravated sometimes at some of the stuff. And, you know, I love Phil. And, you know, he's been my friend for, like, a long time or whatever. But that's... We were all different people. You know? We definitely were. Like, I was the goofy dude or whatever, and you were always like making up ideas and the creative one, and then Phil was just like, yo, I got this guitar here, you know, and would just like play and eventually would get it. But I do remember him being like specifically mad, like, dude, this is way too fast.
Yeah, yeah.
This is way too fast. Like, how am I even supposed to play with this? And then I had a thing, like, when we started playing shows where, you know, my mind was always, I was either hungover the day that we played a show, or I just, whatever, for whatever reason.
I don't remember you drinking that much, but okay.
What are you talking about? Yeah. There was a couple shows, dude, I was like, you guys got specifically pissed at me, like, dude, Jake Burton, you're late. Like, what are you doing?
Well, and I was like, that.
Yeah. Well, no, we sat down on the parking lot of a show at the VFW one time, and you guys were both really pissed at me. God, yeah. And this was like later on years, you know, I was in my 20s or whatever, and I was starting to drink a lot or whatever. But yeah, like,
you just didn't care anymore, you know?
And I I started to get to the point where after playing that band for so long, that for whatever reason, I was just ready to, you know, eventually move on. But everybody had their thing. Like, there would be so many times. Now, I don't remember this. I kind of remember this. Like, did I play the drums in a show and mess up and drop a stick? You guys would all get pissed? Or no, I forgot songs all the time.
No. Hold on. I will tell two embarrassing stories about Jake's drumming. Okay.
All right.
The fucking one story was basically we were friends with these little younger punk rock kids that like had all these shows that they wanted to invite us to. We were like, awesome, we'll play every show. So we go and they're like, yeah, come to this.
You remember the name of the band?
It's on the tip of my brain. I'll get to it. I want to say the Sabotages, but it was like a The Band.
Yeah.
It was a
yeah.
The Band.
It's starting to come to me too. I can't remember either.
Doesn't matter. They weren't known for anything. But
they were pretty good though, from what I remember.
They were like, come to this pool hall and play this show. And we were like, all right, cool. So we go to this pool hall. We finally find the place. We end up there like super late. We were used to playing like fucking arcades and like bowling alleys. And this place was a pool hall. And we're expecting the same thing. The parking lot is full. There's kids in and out of the front door. We go in and there's bodies everywhere. And it was the biggest, craziest show ever. And I forget who was headlining there, and that was the reason why. I think it was Municipal Waste or something like that. Some big name. And so we go in there and they were like, you're going on right now. Mm-hmm. I remember Phil was freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because it was just like so like you usually go to a show and you're super early and you're waiting for people to show up. You never go into a show late. And then all of a sudden have to go on, like you're basically taking your gear out of the car and putting it right onto the stage. So we get there, and we're on the stage and we got this. And we start playing and there's kids in the front and they know our songs and they're telling us.
Which was crazy.
That was phenomenal for us. That was the first time that ever happened. These kids were actually telling us like, play Kids in the Street, play Kids in the Street. And they're singing it in the microphone with me. I had played backup. That was Joey was still in the band.
Yeah, Joey was in the band. Yeah. So yeah, Phil's brother.
Joe Gacy was still in the band there doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, this is a crazy show, and Phil's got a big stack. I lend him the money. I went out and bought a fucking full stack for Phil.
Take a beer.
Yeah, sorry. All right. You're just trying to reinforce it.
You made the rule!
He's just trying to get me drunk.
You know, anyway, you think that I'm not going to pay attention enough, so but Phil, I'm paying attention.
Phil, good. Phil's got, that's what we need to do. We need to look out for each other. So Phil's got this huge stack, and he's playing in front of this thing, and these kids are like, actually, like, circle pitting, which is unheard of in our career at this point, and they're bashing in each other and like knocking us back, and they keep knocking us back, and Phil was like oh, remember Phil was sitting in a chair, like Phil couldn't even perform, he was so nervous,
he always had the bucket next to him.
He felt like he was gonna puke
all the time.
And this is when he earned the name, this was the night that he earned the name Philly Buckets. Because, dude, oh my God.
He was sitting in a chair.
All right, that's pretty embarrassing. The guitarist has to sit down in a chair or whatever because he's too fucking nervous. All right. Mind you, this dude goes on to become like an amateur wrestler or whatever.
And
suplexing dudes in his underwear, but he's afraid to play freaking punk rock to a bunch of fucking 15-year-old kids.
Take another drink.
Ah, and so. It's funny that I said it. Anyway, so it's getting chaotic, right? Well, Jake, I don't know, Phil's mad at Jake because Jake missed a line or didn't hit a cymbal or something silly. And so Jake is all like, I don't know, you got down out of your drum set area and went to the head microphone and got in the microphone and was like, hey guys, listen up. Hey, everyone, calm down.
I don't remember this at all.
Calm down. we have a lot of equipment up here, and you guys better calm down because you're going to knock it over. And if you knock over this guy's speakers, if you knock over his speakers, then you're going to have to pay for them. So you better behave at this punk rock show right now.
Are you serious?
Oh, my God. I don't even remember. So fucking embarrassing. Ask Phil.
Take another drink.
Yeah, I earned that one. Yo, you earned. Yo, oh my God, it was so funny.
What did everybody say when I said that?
They were like, boo!
Yeah, you know.
Oh my God, and you're like, why does everybody make fun of me? I don't understand why everybody's making fun of me. Because you go to a punk rock show and you tell everybody to calm down. Like, hey, Jesus, what the hell?
They were getting a little ridiculous compared to some of the shows we were playing.
They were, it was like they were trying to have.
It was the most craziest show besides. It was the craziest show. Was it the VFW or was it the one at the, like, it was a skating rink or something, and that was a crazy show.
That was a crazy one.
That was another crazy
one. You weren't as embarrassing in that. You actually, you were not embarrassing in that one. That was, so that was the first time you were embarrassing. The second time you were embarrassing, we played the other show, and it was later on in our career or whatever, and we go and we play this show with this punk rock band, and they were all punk rock bands just like us. Now, our problem was is that we were playing super fast hardcore punk rock music at the height of pop punk music. Yeah. And it was just like we didn't fit it in with anyone because you really had to have like a singer that was talking about high school. I'm totally gonna graduate from high school, baby.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, you know, like that kind of thing. And we were like,
couldn't even understand the words. It was crazy. I talked to Joe about this and he was like, he had told me, he was like, well, dude, when I was playing, it was really just like Tom wrote all the lyrics and he was always just like, got to get on there and be like,
I had way too many syllables. And
way too many, too. You couldn't even understand anything.
Couldn't understand any of the words. And then Joey left the band, and I tried singing the words while playing bass, and I was like, well, we're going to have to cut some of these words out, guys.
Oh, yeah, now you say that. Yeah, now you say that.
Anyway, we're at this show, and we're actually playing with real punk rock kids now, like decent, fast punk rock music.
Yeah.
And we play, we open, and we're afterwards, and we're talking to one of the bands there, and I think it was Invade, their name was, and you're talking to one of the dudes there, and he's like, yo, you guys have a great set, man, I love your sound. Yo, here, take one of these. And you're like, what is this? And he's like, no, it's our album, man, take it. And you're like, wait, did you just give me a record? He's like, yeah, man, it's my 7-inch, man, that's like, you know, here you go. And he's like, I don't have a record player. You're like, yo.
I don't remember this at
all. Oh, my God. Yo, dude, it's
there's so,
so funny.
Many things that happened back then, man, that I have no recollection
yo,
of.
Yo, listen, like, for those who don't know, if you're in a punk rock band, okay, it is, like, the most important thing to do is to have a 7-inch record.
So stupid.
Because records are awesome. We were handing out CDs because we were with the fucking new wave shit. All right, this was at the dawn of the MP3.
If somebody hands me a 7-inch back then, I'm going to be like, what am I even going to play this on?
Yeah, they weren't
like, where am I going to put this on?
They were
not
handing you a 7-inch. They were handing you, to you, in your mind, they were handing you a record.
A record. What? Yeah, a record.
I don't even have a record player.
Yeah, oh my God. It was a record. A 7-inch is a record.
Oh my God, that is a record.
That dude
looked at you like, straight fucking in the eye like, are you fucking kidding me, man?
Sorry, I wasn't as punk as you, dude. I'm sorry, dude.
Everyone
like, what do you
knows.
Want me to say?
It's the most punk rock thing to
do. Oh, my God. Yeah, it, you know, okay, listen. We've all had embarrassing stories. I'm not going to bring up the you licking up ashes. I could. That's pretty embarrassing.
No, we should bring that up. Yeah, we're at a beach house, right? No X got the beach
okay,
house.
Okay, and this is pretty fucking
No X got...
Shit.
What?
I said fucking. Twice.
No X rented a beach house in what? Ocean City, right?
I think so, yeah.
Rented a beach house in Ocean City, and I go down there. We all go down there for the weekend. I think we were just only going to stay one night. And we go down there, and we're all drinking and stuff. And, like, I was a crazy drunk man all of the time when I got drunk.
Yeah.
But I'm walking around with a super big gulp or whatever of orange juice and vodka, mm-hmm. like, on the boardwalk. We're at the arcade, and I fucking just dropped the whole thing in the middle of the arcade, just, like, next to young children, and just was like, vodka! Vodka! And, like, it was ridiculous. So I go back, We go back to the place or whatever, and I'm just being an asshole, I don't know, being silly or whatever, and, like, I accidentally knock over the ashtray, and it falls in the rug. And
Noak got pissed, right?
Noak was so fucking pissed. I was like, dude, no, it's cool, man, I'll just lick it up, I'll lick it up, and I go,
Lick it up. This is who is on right now. I will just lick the ashes up off the ground.
I get on all fours, and I'm like,
and I'm sitting here like, I can't believe this is happening.
I go up and I'm like, let me see. And they took a picture of me, man. And that picture is great. My whole tongue is fucking black. I'm like, yo, I'll make it better, man. I'll just lick it up for you.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, that, I'm going to bring up a quick story. We're going to take a break in a couple minutes because we got a little bit more, and I'll extend the podcast a little bit. But it comes back to the story where you weren't here for this, but it was Thanksgiving Eve, and Noak was living in Malaga at the time, and you know, I was all like, you know, skinny and like, I don't give a shit, I'm drinking whatever, I don't care. So we had like a solo cup, and I poured vodka and mixed vodka and fruit punch, which is terrible, on top of eating super spicy hot Buffalo Wild Wings flavored pretzels, right? And I didn't, you know, I just poured it in there, like, I don't give a shit, blah, poured it in there, blah. And Noak's like, dude, you better calm down. Like, you're just, like, chugging this shit. And I'm like, damn it. You better calm down. You're, like, you're drinking this stuff or whatever. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. I'm drinking. I'm having a good time, whatever. So I go to sleep on Noak's couch. And I'm like, all right, man, about to pass out, blah. I'm on, like, Noak's couch. Next thing you know, 3 minutes, I'm like, dude, my stomach hurts. And I'm like, Noak's like apartment, I just go projectile vomit all over his floor. And just like how you were like, it's a cool man, I was like crawling on the ground, dude, I'll clean it up. I'm like trying to clean it up after I just projectile puked all over his stuff, and people were like worried, like, dude, you just literally projectile vomited like at least 6 feet of puke. And I'm like, I'll pay you for whatever it is, I don't care, you know. I'm just like, I'll pay.
Pissed.
He was so mad. And that was the second time that I puked his house. The first time that I puked, that was the second time. The first time it was New Year's Eve, and I was just like drinking gin and juice at the time. I was going through a gin and juice stage where I didn't give a shit and whatever. I know it's really stupid or whatever, but I was just drinking gin and juice, and I had like every flavor or whatever. So we're sitting there, and I'm probably about three-quarters of the way down this gin and juice. It was purple, and it was just, like, the pre-mixed stuff. So we're watching TV, and I'm totally, like, screwed up at this point. And the ball drops, and it's like, 3, 2, 1, and I go, and I threw up. Nobody saw the ball drop. I kicked over the remote. Like, it was this big thing.
I think
you
already brought this up in another podcast.
It was terrible. I don't remember if I did, but whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So. All right. So, one more thing or whatever.
Yeah, go ahead. We got a few minutes before I take a break.
No, I got a great way to end this here. So, basically, there was at some point where me and Jake were basically like, hey, we're such rivals, we should make a rap CD, right? So
a couple minutes for this. We can extend this and go into, because we got about 3 minutes. But if you can get it out, go ahead.
No. We made a rap CD, right? And we basically, I don't know how many, like 12 tracks or something. We just sat down and wrote like rap tracks back and forth and recorded it.
Why did we even decide to do this? Just because we were rivals?
Just to fucking do it. I don't know. But then we
had... Take a drink.
So then we had...
For having ADD, I'm doing really good at this, by the way. Bye.
See, you have more power than I do. Anyway, so... We basically wrote all these rap songs and stuff, and it was really funny. Like, some of the names were like Franklinville Assassins.
Yeah, Phil was listening to that the other day. He sent me a Snapchat. He's like, Franklinville Assassins. I'm like, all right, dude, fine. Like,
so there was
like, I know you're digging it. Like, it's Franklinville Assassins. At least it wasn't the Tom and Jake battle, because that was even more terrible.
So there was a Tom and Jake battle where we both are bashing each other back and forth. And this is a song that I still have in my brain, in my memory, to this day.
So you and probably about 15 to 20 other people that still come up to me every day, for whatever reason, and say macaroni and cheese is all that you
so
mean.
So here, hold
and
on,
like,
hold
it's
on,
just
hold
everything. And
here,
I'm like,
hold on.
Oh my
so
God.
So I felt like I should
I'm
update
never gonna
it.
Live this down.
No,
I'm never gonna
I,
live
I
this down.
I felt like I wanted to end this piece here with an updated version for my good Irish friend Jake Burton. Okay, and this is my impression of an elderly man, an elderly Irish man, singing the Jake Burton Bash song.
All right, this is a tribute, by the way. Either he's making fun of me or it's a tribute. I don't know, but we'll just go with it.
Jake Burton, learn how to spell it in 8th grade. Macaroni pictures was all that you made. Sit down and listen, because this is Ryman College. Ain't no special class, I'm just kicking knowledge. That's right, the special class I remember. Taking the little bus in September. You cried the first time you had a wet dream. Mommy wiped your ass until you were 17. Sound gay, because you talk with a lisp. All that spit in your mouth makes you suck a good dick. Do you spit or swallow? Are you ready to quit? Because this ain't no game, better listen to this. You're fat, hair clumsy, grimace motherfucker, dumb as rock, stupid, mommy titty sucker, breakdancing donkey lips, civic hooker upper, Jesus freak, search of your week, super duper gay man lover. Super duper gay man lover.
I guess it's a tribute, I don't know.
It was a tribute by an Irish fella that I know named Seamus.
It's still Seamus.
His name is Seamus.
It's still a little hurtful, but you know, it's okay. That's who I was, like, back then. That's who I was. All right, we're going to take a break for a second. We'll be back in about 2 seconds to continue this for a little bit longer. We got some other shit we're going to get into, so hold on a sec. All right, so we're back.
Back, bitches.
But guess what? We're going to have a part two. So this is the ending of the part one sesh. So we'll eventually reach...
See you next week.
The part two one. See you next week. Peace, bitches.